لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Inshallah, every day we'll mention just one point every day of what our ma'amulat, wazai should be, so that we can practice. It will be a refresher, a reminder for those who need it, and for those who are not doing it, we can start with that. And those who have forgotten, that then they can be reminded also. So the first is, after farz namaz, we should read one time Allahu Akbar. It is in Bukhari Sharif, but it appears that this practice was discontinued in the time of the Sahaba. But we have seen our elders doing it, especially in driving the Markaz. It is a common practice. And then three times Astaghfirullah. Don't do it with the niyat of Sunnah, but just do it as a takbir, the greatness of Allah, and istighfar. That whatever shortcomings, and if we keep in our mind shortcomings in this namaz now and my whole life, all my guna, I'm asking forgiveness from them. So after namaz, just a little bit of what a murmur, a sort, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Let us try and practice that, inshallah, after our farz namaz, inshallah. In the Ayat-e Kareema, as we have explained, Allah has ordered us to keep rozas, and ulama have written, ulama baqin, who have understood the inside of the Quran Sharif, that rozas are not just the outside rozas, not the capsule, but the inside also, the medicine inside also. So we should keep that roza, and in that we explained roza of the eyes, roza of the tongue, and roza of the ears. With roza of the tongue, with qulu qawlan sadida, a few places in the Quran Sharif it has come in different contexts. Say what you have to say, say it in a straight way. So to understand that, for example, one king of the kings of the past, and they ruled in their way as they had ruled. He saw a dream that all his teeth fell out. So he called the official royal dream interpreter of the court and asked him to give an interpretation. So he gave an interpretation that all your family will pass away in your lifetime. Your wife, your children, all your teeth have fallen out. So those kings were of that nature, he ordered his execution. Such a bad interpretation. All my family, my children are all going to die in my lifetime. Then he called another interpreter and he asked him for the interpretation. So he said, King, this is a basharat for you that you're going to live very long. So the same thing he told, but he just said it in a different way. You're going to live very long, so automatically all others are going to pass away in your lifetime. So he gave him in'am, he gave him a gift. The first person got executed, so how we speak. And we all have to speak to our spouses, husband to wife to husband, our children, as an ustad to your students, everyone we have to give advice. One is we tell somebody that you're useless. And we tell him the same thing, but tell him if you do this way, you'll become very useful. You told the same thing, but you just said it in such a way, you made his heart. So we have to learn how to speak. Many times we think we are giving advice, but we actually broke the heart of a person. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, ask, what do you want? So that was the occasion. And when Risalat Ma'am, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gives an opportunity, so she asked, shouldn't I make mashura with my father, Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala, such an occasion, can't just let it go like that. So he said, yes, by all means, go. So she went to Hazrat Abu Bakr, asked him, so Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala, anhu told her, ask Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that Mi'raj, when he was alone with Allah, and what discussion took place at that time between Allah's beloved and in the since the creation of the world till Qiyamah Day, there won't be such a when Allah's most beloved met his lover and his beloved, and Allah met his lover and his beloved, and what discussion. So if we can tell you one point of that. So she came, she told, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, of one of the points was that a person who mends a broken heart, Allah becomes extremely pleased with that person and grant that person Jannah. So this is a thing, and many times people, and it comes in the hadith also, that people who just want to, want a shoulder to lean on, they just want to load off what they got in their heart, and no, you can't do anything, but you just give them a hearing, and they feel lighter, they feel better, there's great reward for that also. So we should try and help people out. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha went and she told Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu started crying. So Nabi Hazrat Aisha was surprised also that there is an occasion to be happy, that some basharat, that you mend a broken heart and Allah is pleased, Allah grants you Jannah. But Hazrat Abu Bakr started crying. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala's knowledge was there, where after Nabuwat, nobody can reach that knowledge of Hazrat Abu Bakr. Like when the surah was revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when Allah's help comes and the opening will take place, يَدْخُلُونَ النَّاسُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, people will enter into Islam in torrents of every day, forge, people will enter into Islam. All the Sahaba were very happy. But when Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu got the news, he started crying. So they asked, everyone is happy that Islam is going to spread in the world now. That news has come, what we all wanted all the time, now you are crying. She said that in there is the information that now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to leave us. Because his mission is completed now. His mission was to open the floodgates and let people flood into the fold, and which happened after that. In the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr, in the time of Hazrat Umar, where Islam spread in the world, it spread. So it's this indication that now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to leave us. So he said, here where there is this basharat, where you mend a broken heart, and what grace reward, the mafhum and mukhalif, the opposite side of the coin is also true. Where you break somebody's heart is very, very dangerous. Allah becomes very angry. And today we have to see just by our words how we break. And whose heart we break? Husband breaks his wife's heart. Wife breaks the husband's heart. We break our children's heart. In our heart of heart, we want the good of our children. But in the process, we break their heart so many times. As youngsters, they do many wrong things. But the way we speak to them, you're a useless. You'll never make it in life. I don't know what's going to happen to you. You're a complete write-off. Like that we speak to our children. That should not be the case at all. We should, instead of breaking, make the situation all the time. So to learn to speak is a very, very important thing which we should learn. And in all our matters, we should, with somebody, to give mashura to somebody. It's just a matter of choosing the word and giving the right mashura. But it's just common with us that we just always, it's just, we break a person. And in the tarbiyah, the upbringing of our children or anyone else also, Buzurgani Deen has written that it is a matter of making your blood into water. In other words, you have to make a lot of effort. That for us it is easy just to shout and just to swear and just to show our authority. But what has to be done is to set that person down. What you could tell him in half a minute, in a few seconds, shut up, get out from here. But now you make him sit down and you make him understand the whole thing. So you have to sacrifice your time. But today we got no time for ourselves also. We got no time for our children, our family. Only what we got time for is for the cell phone. But besides that, we got no time for namaz also, no time for tilawat also. And with regard to tilawat of Quran Sharif, somebody wrote to Hazrat Maulana Kareem Thorat Sahib, Damat Barakatum of the UK, and said that I don't find time to read Quran Sharif. What a beautiful answer Maulana gave. He said, it's not a matter of you not finding time, it's a matter of the importance of the Quran Sharif is not in your heart. Whatever things important is in your heart, you will make point you get time for it. People find time for the cigarette. People find time for everything else. What things love is in your heart, what things important is in the heart, you will find time, you will make time for it. But a beautiful example is given, like in India, traveling in the train, and on the seat, in the third class, four people can sit. But now somebody comes, a stranger, and you can see now he's got on and he's looking, walking past, looking for somewhere to sit. Then automatically, without speaking, everyone stretches their legs. And now they make it clear to him there's no place here. But just let a friend come, somebody you know, and immediately sit close and a place comes off for him. So it's a matter of our attitude, what it is like. So how our attitude is, so we should accommodate, and especially have time for our children. How many parents find themselves guilty, we never gave our children time. How many children yearn for their parents? We don't give them, then they find other company. They find somebody else. And do we give quality time to our children? And to sit down and talk to them, morals, examples, and things. It's a small point, but explained like this with time, and making the child understand at its level, this is one job of its own. You are at your level. For example, a 5-6 year old child, and a person who is 26, 20 years difference. So that 5-6 year old child has got the choice of one jalebi, one chocolate, and one says a diamond ring, a golden ring with a diamond on it. What is the child going to choose? The ice cream, the chocolate. The 26-year-old person, what will he tell him? What must you choose? He must choose the diamond ring. But that doesn't make sense to the child. Now, he's just to shout and that, it won't make sense. It needs a lot of explanation. And now, if you explain to the child and you could get through to the child, Anzilu Nas Manazilahu is one golden rule with regard to this. Speak to the people, not at your level, at their level. You have to bring yourself, you have to understand the situation, and not at the level. This is a 26-year-old person, and that is a 6-year-old. His understanding is completely different of life, and speak to him at his level. Tell him the right things, but make him understand at his level. So that is what you have to make the child understand. That in that diamond ring, though it's got no taste like jalebi, ice cream, chocolate, sweets, or something, or just one chappy. Today, forget small children, old people all the time chewing like cows. Cow chews all the time. When they're chewing gum, just chewing. And the cow's chewing produces milk for us. This chewing gum, they destroy your whole brain. You become completely without brains, you become. So anyway, so all the time we are just chewing, etc. Whereas the thing is, give time, and especially your greatest assets. Also, old people used to say, your assets are not your financial assets. Your assets are your children. Your finances, in most cases, is kept a secret. Nobody knows about it. Who is going to carry your name tomorrow are your children. They would say the son of so-and-so, daughter of so-and-so. So if you make them, they will carry your good name. And if you didn't make them, your name will be bad. That's it. If the children were like that, the parents must have been like that. So it's very important. And those who give time for their children, what wonderful results are being produced now at this time. Small children of 4 or 5 years old, 5-6 years, and their thinking is way ahead of our thinking also. and especially in the deeni matters. This is when the parents will give the time to the children. That's how Hafiz Zakaria is here, his son Muhammad maybe also here. He's about now, he's 6 or 7, but about a year or two ago, once after Namaz, we were going out, and he gave advice to one of our other friends, son, small child, said, those children there, you mustn't play with them. They're very naughty boys in there. And you must worry about Qiyamah, about Akhirah. A 5-6 year old boy, don't waste your time in playing. So I asked him, where you got this from? He said, from my mama, his mother. That is that advice that he's given. So if we make up, and there are many children like that. And on the other hand, once in the supermarket those days, this non-Muslim people, white people, the mother was telling the child, swear this uncle. And because of something that happened, and now she's telling the child to swear. That is how their life is, to swear the person, kick that person, or throw the thing at that person. That is the tarbiyah they give to their children. And many, we don't appreciate Islam, we don't appreciate Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif. If we bring that into our life, what a great value Allah has given us to learn, to speak, and in order to bring up our children. It's a very important thing, tarbiyat al-awlad, to how to bring up our children and to give time for that. And they are your real assets, your punji, your asset in life. It's not the amount of money you got, how many properties you got, it's your children. And what akhlaq and what character they got. Your daughter, her whole secret will come out in front of the husband and the in-laws. Your son, all his inside qualities will come out in front of his wife and in front of his in-laws. It is what we have put into them. That is very, very important to make their career. For that one very important aspect, one very important aspect is how to speak, to learn to speak correctly. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah. So, then as we spoke about the tongue, about the eyes, and about the ears. All these things must keep rules out that also. And hopefully, inshallah, we are becoming conscious and we are trying to keep our rules according to that. That we keep our eyes pure. And a person whose eyes are pure, whatever he looks at, he purifies it also. A barakat in that. And the people benefit if our eyes are pure, who we look at, there's barakat in there. Those people get purified. One good friend of ours, Mufti, he has passed away, Allah give all our marhumin jannat. He explained one time he was teaching at some Islamic school, and he says that in a staff meeting, and unfortunately all mixed males and females and all, one of the female teachers pointed to another, also an Ali, and said, the way he looks at me, the seven oceans water can't purify his eyes. Such dirty looks he gives me. And that is so common. And so what we, our eyes, if they are so impure, and being an Ali and in a dini environment supposed to be, in an Islamic school, but there our eyes are so filthy and dirty. And how many of us, who we look at and what eyes we look at the person. On the other hand, if our eyes are purified and we look with pure eyes, a person really, and this is Buzurgani Deen, how many cases a person just went and meet them and his whole life changed after that. Because they purified their eyes. So to purify our eyes in this month of Ramadan, and that is for everyone. We don't have to be a alim or a sheikh or somebody. If we work towards it, an ordinary person, our eyes can be purified. And if we don't, you can be a sheikh and you can be an alim. But if you didn't purify your eyes and you only got the title, that's going to completely destroy you. Also, with regard to this opportunities we get to ask something from Allah Ta'ala. On the other side, a couple, husband and wife, also were given 3 du'as to make, and all 3 du'as will be accepted readily. And human usually, because they very jazbaz, very they rush into things, they very they can't go things gradually, they just hasty they are. So she immediately made dua for one baloney. So now the husband got very, very angry. One, three duas, what it can change the world into. And now you made dua for a baloney. Women have got this habit of being hasty. Man got the habit of becoming angry. So he became angry, and his anger, he said, I wish it gets stuck on your nose. So the second dua got accepted, and the baloney went and got stuck on her nose. Now he's sitting with a worse situation. When the baloney they could still eat, and now they made mashura, now they're thinking, now they're making istikhara. And what was it all? Just to use the third dua, that it comes back in the plate. And now it wouldn't go down the throat also. The lump of sorrow in the throat won't allow the baloney to go down the throat also. Three duas, just because we couldn't use them properly, what could be done with three duas? And what was the result of it? So that is our condition. So Allah give us tawfiq to use all our what are assets, great, great. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْعًا. When Allah took you out from the wombs of your mothers, you knew nothing whatsoever. And then, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Three main sources Allah is saying. Sam'a, first, listen. A child, till the age of what? He doesn't speak at all. He's just listening. A child born in an Arab family automatically will start speaking Arabic. Without going to school, without learning fa'ala fa'ala and what are the marfu'at and what are the mansubat and what are the mustasna, nothing, but it will speak correct Arabic. A child born in a Chinese family, it will start speaking Chinese because it was listening for so long. So when it listened, when it opened its mouth, it spoke in that language. In a house where Quran Sharif is being recited, many years ago, we were in Durban, and before the bayan, one young boy, about 8 years old, he sat on the minbar and he read Quran Sharif. And beautifully he read, and correctly, and the masjid was full, and mostly were all ulama and kuffar, without any fear of anyone, and he read so beautifully. So after that, I asked his father, in your opinion, what do you think that Allah blessed your child with this great gift? 8-year-old child, and he read Quran Sharif so beautifully. So he reflected for a little while, and then he said that when his mother was expecting him, every day she should read 15 Suparas Quran Sharif. So that will be the result. The thoughts of the parents, and especially the child is in the womb of the mother, the mother's thoughts also, but this doesn't give freedom to the fathers. When we use this, we go and tell the wives that, see, you must keep your thoughts pure. But that means you can now, you can think what you'll think bad for your wife's sake, you'll take it over. You'll take that contract over. And that also will work, you will do. No, both the parents, but especially the mother, how much her thoughts are pure, the child will be like that. When mothers were like that, then we had people like Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah. We had people like Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jailani. What advice his mother gave him as a small child when he was going to study? Never speak a lie. And she sewed some gold into his clothes and hid it away. And when the crooks came and they asked every, what have you got, passengers? So he said, I got gold from here. So that crook who was working under his superior, he couldn't accept it. He's a small boy. What? He doesn't know anything. But so he took him to his superior. Superior took him to the head of the of all the crooks. That is, when they opened up, Abbas, they found all the gold. What made you speak? What made you? My mother told me I must never speak a lie. All of them made tawbah and changed their lives. And so this is what, when a person is made like that. Otherwise, we teach the children to lie. Common when a jamaat goes to a house, knock on the door, call your father, he goes in, he comes out again, my father says he's not at home. Tell them that he's not at home. How many mothers teach their children to lie? Never, don't tell daddy this. You tell him something else. We teach them the wrong things, and then we cry tomorrow. we cause the accident and the death ourselves, and we then want to mourn over that. It's up to us. So it's very, very important that we use all our great faculties which Allah has given us. Allah took the child pure out of the mother's womb. Pure, pure. And then Allah Ta'ala made for him his hearing. And then his speech, wal afida, and the heart. To think, meditate, think of things. You gain information, knowledge through your ears. And the most important time when a child learns is not when he goes to school, not high school, not university, but his first 2 years at home. What mahal and what environment the parents give him, and what they are doing, the child is seeing also all the time. Not just what we tell the child to do. If they see the parents are not making namaz, they see the parents are not reading Quran Sharif, that is what they're going to do. You can lecture as much as you want to. The greatest thing that has an effect are your own amal. If we are making namaz, we are making tilawat, the child will grow up in that environment automatically. So it's very, very important. And so it's not just a matter of that we want, you know, that. Just remember, Hazrat Shaykh Mal Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one great malfooz just passed, we saw it, that Hazrat Shaykh used to stress a lot on muraqabah dua. That is, you make dua without lifting your hand, just silently in your heart. So with regard to Ramzan, Hazrat has stressed that 1 minute before iftari time, before you open your roza, 1 minute, he says, make muraqabah dua in your heart. And when you put the khajur in your mouth for about 30 seconds, half a minute, make more dua. That time when your body, you're hungry the whole day, and you get the sweet khajur in your mouth. Now you, all you want to is just eat it, enjoy it, now let it go down. But at that time, turn to Allah Ta'ala. Put your own taqada, which you're so desperate about, put it one side, without lifting your hands, just from your heart, make dua to Allah. Hazrat promises the condition of the ummah will change. If we will do this, and when you make muraqabah, that means the dua from the heart. Most of us, our dua is on our tongue. We are making dua, but we're looking around everywhere. In the dua, we're waving somebody also, winking eyes with somebody, or we're saying, not now, just now, just now. In the dua all day, what kind of a dua? But the dua of the heart, directly to the arsh of Allah. And if the, today, the ummah today, how many, about 2 million people keeping, 2 billion people keeping roza, 1 billion people keeping roza, all of them make dua. And so what a great prescription, and so easy, 1 minute before iftari time. Turn now, put your hands down, and just from your heart, turn to Allah. Or even if you keep your hands up, but turn your heart, your full attention from your heart to Allah. And after you put the khajur, for at least 30 seconds, half a minute, also spend it in dua. And dua, at least make dua for ourselves. Make dua for our family, and make dua, and when we make dua, mostly we making for our dunya. My child must pass the exams, my child has opened a shop, and now the shop must be successful, it must run well. When do we make dua for the akhlaq of our children, for the iman of our children? Those things are not important to us. The dunya is important, as it comes in the hadith sharif, that a person who misses his namaz, and some hadith comes specifically asr namaz, it is as though he has lost all his family and all his wealth. But how many of us, for a 50 rand deed in the shop, we will miss our namaz? Just for a small thing, we miss our namaz. And you see, when I come home, my family is still in order. My wealth, today I made so much money in the shop, I packed it in my pocket. Yes, my pocket, I made. The Muslim, he doesn't see anything wrong. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is as though you lost your family and your wealth. But my family is intact, my wealth is intact. So, and out of respect, he is a Muslim, so he doesn't speak anything against the hadith. But deep down, somewhere in his heart, It's not true. Yes, my family is intact, and I've got a 50-rand customer. But when we go in the qabr, then we'll realize the truth of that. That how, for, if you must your one namaz, any namaz, and particularly asr in one, as the hadith is referred to, if you must it, then you have lost all your family. So if that reality can come into us, that when we miss our namazes, we miss our wazaif also, our ma'amulat also. Sometimes it is due to travel, due to illness, due to some other daily occupation, and the person that you can compensate, you get compensated for that. But without reason, we just laziness, just tiredness, just preference of dunya, the cell phone, main thing. A person who has, I know I still have to read my one supara, my one page I still have to read, but my eyes start drooping. But when I take the phone, 1-2 hours go, and I'm fresh. So we should think of that. So to use our time correctly. So the tarbiyat of, so all these organs Allah Ta'ala has made, and ears Allah mentioned first, and then eye, and then the heart. And it is the eye that is the feeder to the heart. The ear is the feeder to the heart. And all this, we have made great effort. It goes to the brain. What we see, it goes to the brain. What we hear, it goes to the brain. And we have to make an effort to transfer it to the heart. A student who takes 3 years to become hafiz the Quran, for example, average, 6 years, 7 years to become an alim, 10 years. But if he kept all this just in the brain, he didn't transfer it to the heart, it's a exercise in futility. Because at the time of maut, husna mahafiz to do it. That will be taken out what is in your heart, not husna mahafiz uqul, not what is in the brain. And the distance from the brain to the heart is just one shiba, just one of one man spent. That is all what it is. But transfer it. Put it into the heart. That is where it has to be. And what's going to be taken out, and when we're going to be questioned in the qabr, we could have spent our whole life as alims, teaching, hips class, making hafizah. But if we did not transfer it into the heart, in the qabr, we won't be able to answer. We won't, what is going to come out in the qabr is what is in the heart, not what is on the tongue. That's what is on the in the head. So if it just remained on the tongue, that is like a parrot. Everything is just on its tongue. But the day that parrot comes in the clutches of the cat or the dog, then everything what was on the tongue for so many years, it forgets all that. So when we will come in the throes of death, sakarat, that person's condition is completely different. And what helps that person is only what is in the heart. What is in the mind doesn't help a person. What's on the tongue doesn't help. What you heard doesn't help. Transfer it. And that is the work of the khalqa. And if we work in that direction, in jamaat we get encouraged to learn deen, to practice deen. Darul Uloom we will learn deen. And the khalqa is the place to transfer it into the heart. That it stays with a person permanently, not just on the surface. So it's very, very important. So the roza that we keep also purify our ears also. One beautiful example, one alim gave to students of deen who are learning madrasa, becoming alim. So he said that this knowledge you're going to acquire, you're going to handle the kitab with your hand. You're going to walk to your classes with your feet. You're going to see the kitab, what's written. You'll see your ustad with your eyes. When your ustad is going to speak, you're going to hear with your ears. So if all these, the instruments, the organs that are required for the acquisition of this knowledge, if they are pure, then this knowledge will go pure in your heart. And if they are impure, then though the knowledge is pure, but these organs are impure. Like when it rains, distilled water comes down. Pure, clean water. But if your gutters are dirty, and all that water gathers on the roof, and then goes into the gutters, and then comes down from the downpipe, but your downpipe is dirty, all the pure, how much of water, and how pure water, but your downpipe has some dirt in it. And so all that water will come out impure. So we have to purify these organs. So Allah has given us these organs, and Allah gave them to us 100% pure. When Allah took us out from the wombs of our mothers, we were 100% pure. Every child, kullu mauludi yuladu alal fitra, every child is born on the natural, pure, clean path. Then it's what the parents make of the child. And then the child, as it grows up, when it gets its own shu'ur, its own understanding, what it makes of itself, and then for life will be there. When he gets married, what he was made, that will come out now in front of the wife, in front of the in-laws. As he carries on in life, if he's going to be teaching, he teaches 30 students a year, 10 years, 300 students, 20 years, 600, 1,200, 15, 2,000 students in his lifetime he teaches. But it will be all depend. We just look at the numbers. He taught so many students and that. But what did he teach? And what was the quality of that teaching? What did he put across? So that is all very important. So and all that can be made in one Ramzan. In one roza it can be made. If we keep rozas of the eyes, rozas of the tongue, and rozas of the ears, this is all that we are purifying it. And then from there, first we try, it goes to the brain. And from the brain, we transfer it to the heart. Let it go into the heart. And then the iman is what we learn in the kitab. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi. All that we learn. But the place now, don't leave it just on our tongue. And don't just leave it in our brain. But all that yaqeen must come into the heart. It's a matter of yaqeen. One khatib, Ali, giving Juma bayan, and very impressive, very good bayan, and very good bayan. And he became very famous also. People used to come from far and wide to listen to his bayans also. Right at a far distance in a village, a young boy came to here. So he also started coming from there. He had to leave home when it's still dark on Friday morning. Before Fajr he had to leave to make it here for Jummah. On the way he had to cross a river also. And he had to get the boatman to transport him across. And then he comes here and reaches here in distance. And he was also very impressed. And he fell in love with the sheikh also. What wonderful bayans, what good bayans he's giving. One day the sheikh told that the kalima, la ilaha illallah, it has got such power and such force that even if you have to cross a river and you have yaqeen, you just read your kalima and you'll be able to cross safely. So he was over the moon that every week, Friday Jummah I come, then I have to cross the river, I have to wait for the boatman, so much of my time goes, I have to pay him also. And when I go back again, now I got the kalima. I just read the kalima and I'll cross. And he had so much yaqeen and trust. So when he went that day, he read the kalima and he crossed safely. Nothing happened to him. So few weeks like this passed. Then he thought, the sheikh, I must invite him to my house. What a great treasure he has given me. So he invited the sheikh. So they went together. When they came to the river, he read the kalima and he crossed. The sheikh did not have that yaqeen. He couldn't. He said, the river is too deep. I'll drown in here. So it's a matter of that yaqeen. So this is yaqeen that we have to have. Which great, great ulama who are deep into tasawwuf, they say, my greatest weakness is my weakness of yaqeen. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Surah Al-Islam in Sajda, the second ruku at the وَجَعْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِهِمْ. We will make from them, the Bani Israel, ta'imma, leaders. And that's the highest position a person can get in the world. That Allah gives you that position where you have leading position in dealing matters. The imam of a masjid, Allah makes you a sheikh, Allah makes you the imam or the alim of the town, of the area. And dealing matters, people refer to you for all the dealing matters. That there's no position higher than that. That is the highest which Allah gave to Islam, Ibrahim alayhi salam. We ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimati. We tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what test? the most difficult test Allah has put to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Slaughter your own son at that time when you are old and you need support. And your greatest support can be your own son. And he is now at that age, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ, that he could do all his father's work. He will take over all the work and could bring ease and comfort to his father. At that time Allah said, slaughter him. And he was ready and he slaughtered. He actually slaughtered. But the act of slaughtering did not take place. Allah did not allow it to take place. And Allah put a ram. When he was to be thrown into the fire, he was prepared. When Jibreel alayhi salam came with the permission of Allah to save him, he said, no, I don't need your help. What a death. When he was ordered, leave your wife Hajra and your son, small infant at that time, a baby, leave them in the deserts of Arabia, where forget the Makkah of Sharif of today, not a blade of grass, not a shelter, no water, forget any provision, no water, nothing, leave them. And he left in such a way that he did not even tell them. Allah's command came and he started walking. And when his wife is asking him, he did not even tell her where I'm going. Because Allah's command came, I must go now. I have to go for tabligh of deen and I must go and spread the word of Allah. When the wife pleaded, still he didn't. When she told, is it Allah's command? And then without looking back, he said, yes. Then she said, her, that is how he made his wife. And we also, we complain of the wife, she doesn't make namaz. She doesn't support me in deeni matters. We didn't make her tarbiyah. For how many years we used her, literally used her, but we didn't pay back. We didn't put any deen into her life. But Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife, she was at that level also, which the poet of the East, Allama Iqbal, asked, was when Ismail alayhi salam told, when Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him, that inni ara fil manam anni asbahuka, I see in my dream, Allah has commanded me that I must slaughter you. What's your opinion? What do you say? You say, no opinion. What you have been told, do it immediately. A small child at that time, whose life is very dear to him. Today, our children, what will they have in their hearts? The Ferrari. And they'll have all the things of the sports and cricket and soccer. But he was saying, yeah, Allah, my father, what you have been ordered, you do. The mother, how she had brought up this, so Allama Iqbal asked, was it the milk of the mother or was it the sperm of the father? And the reality it was both of them. The mother's tarbiyah, the father's tarbiyah, and the son said, ya abatif al ma tu'mar, do what you have been told to do. Do the right thing, you slaughter me. And when so Ibrahim alayhi salam at that time left there. So all this, we waibitala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalimati fa atamma. Two distinctions he passed. All he passed. What certificate is that? In Janakima? Inni jailuka fifteen. Oh, inni jaili nati imama. I made you the imam. The highest position of that day. And he became Imamul Anbiya. All the Anbiya of Bani Israel. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi of the Arabs and Nabi of the world. Allah brought all in the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is the highest position. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, like any other eager person, immediately said, وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِ, that, oh Allah, and my family also made them all imams. Allah ta'ala says that, لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, this promise of mine, it is there, but not for the wrongdoer. If your family will be right here, then this could go, they will also care. So this is the highest position, to be an imam. And Allah made all of us who are married and with children, Allah made us imam. رَبَّنَا حَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيُنْ, make our children قُرَّةَ عَيُنْ, the coolness of our eyes. And that is not that they're running big businesses, they're bringing in big money, but it is that deen is in their lives, namaz is in their lives, their dressing is right, their tarbiyat is right, the worry is about akhirah, not about dunya. That is qurratul ayn. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا,
and make us, O Allah, for the muttaqeen, make us the imams of the muttaqeen. Hazrat Mu'atani rahmatullah alayhi explained to our Shaykh, explained to us the tafsir here, you are the imam of your household people. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Men, Allah has given them that position. They are the superiors, they are the responsible people in the family. But if your children, you made them muttaqeen, you are imamul muttaqeen. And if they are fasiqeen, you will be imamul fasiqeen. And you will be imamul fustaq. It's how you make them, it's in your hands, who you want to be imamul muttaqeen or you want to be imamul fasiqeen. If we didn't make the tarbiyah, our business was more important. Our other things that we did, discarded our children. We didn't make the tarbiyah. And they turn out, it's not what the children are, it's what the parents make them. It is, al-waladu sirrul li'abihi. A child is the secret of his parents. What is in our heart. A father, for example, is teaching in a Darul Uloom or whatever, big kitabs. But in his heart is the love of the Western way of life. So he can't wear jeans and t-shirts and that. He makes his children wear it. The mother is a big alima, doing big tabligh work. But in her heart is the love of the West is there. And she can't now dress like all this terrible dress. But she makes her children wear that. And she makes herself happy seeing her children wearing that. So the children are an expression of what is in the hidden secret of the parents' heart. That is what the children are. So what we have in our hearts, that is what our children will become. Illa, it happens, sometimes the parents really try, but the children just don't listen. That's a different thing. But it's also what, not only now what we are, what we have been from the time the child was conceived, and while the child was still within the womb of the mother, when the child came into this world, what it saw us doing. And now at the age of 50, 60, we change our deed. And now we become righteous and pious. All these things have been resisted from the child's mind already. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So together with all our other effort on our mind and heart also, roza of the mind and the heart. To turn the direction towards Allah Ta'ala first. Direction, akhirat is our object. And this is such a clear thing. Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانِ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِيدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. A person has just made iradasta. مَنْ كَانِ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ. The farm of the akhirat, the life of akhirat. Akhirat is his object. To get saved from Jahannam. To go to Jannah and all the mammoth of Jannah, what things Allah has prepared. A person who makes the irada. Like for example, if I'm sitting here, somebody hasn't got a beard, not at all, or not sunnah beard, and he decides now to keep a beard sunnah, his beard is not going to grow immediately. He'll be still without a beard, it will take 6 months. 3 months, how long will it take for a sunnah beard to grow? It will take time. But as soon as he makes irada, he's of that guna. If there was a non-Muslim, or we as Muslims, but our lives were openly, or that of the fusa, or breaking the law, or privately, outwardly we were like angels. We were, the farishtas also get shy, looking at us, that how far is it. But inwardly, the shaitan gets shy. That this person, what he does in his private life. And we decide to change our life. So, they change, we got all Western clothes, we got tattoos also on our body. It's not going to go away. It's going to be there. But we just made that irada. Already, Allah nazid lahu fi arsi. Allah will increase you all, will give you barakat in your things. Which Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, that when you decide to make tawbah and change your life, don't wait for Friday night, and then I will make tawbah. Don't wait when I go in Jamaat, when I go by my Shaykh, when I go for Umrah. Immediately the thought comes, wherever you can be in the dance of vice, in a brothel, in a gambling place, in the where all liquor is sold and you are there. But you just make your niyat of changing and Allah will change. Already, by Allah, you are already a farishta. Though you still got that glass of liquor in your hand, and you got a prostitute sitting in your left, but you made your niyat of changing your life, Allah will change. And there are so many instances where people who are in the worst, filthiest places, and doing the worst things, but Allah, whom He wants to, and He makes ijtiba, and then He gave them, and they made tawbah, they didn't just change themselves, they changed their countries, they changed. The whole lives of people change. So this irada a person makes. And for that we don't have to wait for any special occasion. Immediately. Man kan yuridu harthan akhira, Allah promises directly, nazif lahu fi harthi. We will increase him in that field. And how many people, ordinary people, revert themselves. But when this came into that, they became the cause of their whole family changing their lives. They became the cause of their country people changing their lives. Many, many modern people, film actresses, singers, Allahu Akbar, how people change their lives. I just mentioned this very briefly, sometimes a bit more in detail. One of the Imams of the Haram of Mecca makes Umrah every Thursday night. And whole night he should spend in the haram, in ibadat, etc. Very pious person. One Pakistani became friends and then asked him, tell me some miracle you saw here in Haram Sharif. So he said, a miracle I saw, that there was a young Egyptian boy, and her father married him to a very pious, beautiful girl. Very pious. But he himself, he was out of line. And he went to England and he became a singer. And very famous artist, pop singer. And I'm just making it very short, sometimes a bit in detail. So he had great fame and great position. And whole night he should spend in his club with his friends. Come home Fajr time. So one day after 5 years he came home Fajr time. His wife blocked him and told him, 5 years you're feeding me haram money. All your income is haram. And it's enough now. I can't take it anymore. Fajr Azan is going, go for Fajr. And she blocked his way, did not allow him to come in the bedroom. He just sunk into the sofa and he fell asleep. And whole day he slept. That was his work. At night he's awake. And we're awake in the club. All with his filth and dirt. And here he used to be sleeping the whole day. His eyes woke up at night, back time to go to the club. Again he went away to the club. When he reached the club, Isha Azan went there. Now it struck him. And he decided to go for Isha. When he went to Isha, all the musallis rushing and greeting him, that he's their main idol, he's the top pop singer. And today he's in the masjid yet. They were also all shocked. But that was the change of his life. And then he changed. Then he relocated to Makkah Sharif. And there, now no income, you big income he was getting. What was his income? By the millions, his income of pounds, how much he was earning. Now no income, so he took a job as to record the recording all the Quran Sharif, and then he got a job there. And in that he got a good earning, and in 1 year he became Hafiz al-Quran. And after that he became now righteous and pious. He says, that person is me. That's the miracle. That what miracle the Haram made of him, that how he changed and his whole life changed. So if we make this the irada, man kani yuridu harthan akhira, Allah promises nazid lahu fi harthi. You can be a person who went through all that and yet you will come out and you will be, Allah will make you shine in the world and make you a source of inspiration, a source of hidayah for the people of the world. Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.